Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
That's right, Nate Taylor, every Thursday at 8:25. It is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Comeback player of the year, DeMar Hamlin. What say you, Nate Taylor?
Sure, fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We've lost track of all awards. They don't mean anything.
Now, to be fair to DeMar Hamlin, this is his first time as a true starter. He was becoming basically a starter when obviously he had the cardiac arrest in Cincinnati a couple of years ago. But, you know, he's a full starter now. The Bills are a very good team. I'm not going to say they're good because, like, he's great. But he's a serviceable starter. You know, it's hilarious that last year we gave this award to Joe Flacco because, you know, he just said, hey, let's just play YOLO ball. And it, by the way, kids, it was amazing that he got the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs. But there's not – I understand that there's not, like, a – candidate that jumps out to you. And DeMar deserves all the credit in the world for his perseverance and his willingness to try to make the most of his career after something we really hadn't seen in the modern NFL of a player's life, you know, basically stop for a few minutes, you know, just after a normal looking collision in the middle of the field against T. Higgins. Sure.
Fair enough.
If you want to. How about Spags not being a finalist for assistant coach of the year, though? That's the one that kind of, you know, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Can you remind me? Because again,
it was Joe Brady.
I have not looked at this list.
Joe Brady, Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn,
Ben Johnson,
and there was one other guy that was listed on there as well.
Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, the guy from Philadelphia who made lasagna during COVID when he was coaching the Broncos.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah, yes.
You look, Vic Fangio. I don't know who his press person is, his publicist, but man, Vic Fangio gets all the love. So I guess that doesn't surprise me. It is a shame. Because you're you know, it's the same thing with Andy Reid. You're a product of your own consistent success, which therefore means, like, you know, what am I supposed to do with any of this? Like, you're good every year. Or, you know, you obviously have a top five defense when you got rid of L'Jarius Sneed and Willie Gay's not on the team. And you have a, you know, you didn't, it's not like he had an infusion of rookies. I mean, he had Jaden Hicks, but, you know, it's. Yeah, it's disappointing. If it was up to me, I think Liam Cohen is probably the best out of that group. That's who I would vote for because he stabilized and got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be even more creative than last year under Baker Mayfield. And as you know, it's unfortunate they lost in the playoffs, but it's not because of his coaching. It's just a few. I mean, we've learned this in all these games. It's just a few minor mistakes. So, you know, the botch snap, the fumble in the fourth quarter against the Commanders really flipped the momentum of that game. I actually appreciate Liam Cohen being like, you know what? I want the Jaguars' job. You know, I like living in Tampa. I actually have a good quarterback. You know, I don't need to develop, you know, one that we've already given money to. Mm-hmm. And then the Jaguars yesterday was like, oh, maybe we should do what everyone's been telling us for the last, like, month, which is, like, you probably need a new GM and you need a new coach.
That's yeah. right.
Andy Reid is a finalist for Coach of the Year, which is...
Oh, well, congratulations to him. That's an achievement in and of itself.
Right.
Oh, I mean, like, massive congrats to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing that he has 300 wins, ladies and gentlemen, 300. There's basically two coaches that matter since the turn of this century. It's Bill Belichick and it's Andy Reid. So congratulations to him for being a finalist. He probably won't win.
Well, talking about this game on Sunday, it's a big game for Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, but this is kind of like that Sean McDermott game too, because like here he is 3 years ago getting the first opportunity, still yet to get a win. It's AFC Championship time. Eventually, you got to get yourself and Josh Allen to the big game. How big is this that this game is for Sean McDermott as well that is just for Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
Because Sean McDermott is an Andy Reid disciple, because he's grown over the course of his career, like you said, Dusty, I think he's had better teams, right? I think the 13-second team is honestly probably the best top-to-bottom roster the Bills have ever had during this run. And so it's unfortunate that they lost that game. And that partly due to his coaching, you know, in those final 13 seconds. If not now, man, it's got to come sooner rather than later. I would tell Sean McDermott, hey, the reason you've lost to the Chiefs in dramatic, heartbreaking fashion is because your special teams has not been good against the Chiefs, just point blank. Like, Tyler Bass missed a field goal last year. You ran a Disney movie-esque fake punt to Damar Hamlin when you had no business doing that. And, of course, hey, you didn't squib it. You just kicked it through the end zone. You are a defensive-minded coach. You let them get into field goal range. Josh Allen, I'm not necessarily concerned with. But I do think for McDermott, it comes down to, you know, you've got to mitigate all the advantages that Andy Reid has based on all of his experience. So if the Bills win on Sunday, it will be a crowning achievement for him, for Brendan Bean, the general manager there, obviously Josh Allen. They will be, I believe, the presumptive favorites in the Super Bowl, which will present its own challenge. But, hey, man, figure out a way to cover Travis Kelce. Figure out a way to, like, not have, like, soul-sucking plays on special teams. And don't be afraid of the moment. I think the biggest sign of his growth being Sean McDermott is it's fourth and two. Sure, we can kick a field goal. But, hey, thankfully you've seen it enough by now that you know we should probably go for it because I don't want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes with a chance to win the game or for the game to continue to be a one-score possession versus it being a two-score possession. So he's going to have to continue to do that, but make the right risky plays, not do something that is completely out of character. That will be his challenge on Sunday.
I feel like whoever has a turnover in this game is going to be the team that loses. Like, I know it's so simple to say it that way, but the Chiefs haven't had one since the Buffalo game. Buffalo hardly turns the ball over as well. I feel like if one of these teams turns it over, that could be the difference in this thing.
It could. Now, I do want to remind people that, like, this is why I say I think that 13-second team was actually better. And, hey, I might be wrong. But the 13-second team was better because they had a much better consistent defense, you know, when they weren't playing prevent with 13 seconds on the clock. It helps that you have Von Miller, who's obviously in, like, the Travis Kelce range of greatness. Gregory Rousseau's a very good player. I still think even if the Chiefs turn the ball over once, maybe even twice, they can still get down the field. I want to remind everybody, including you guys, we all saw with what, it was like 3-4 minutes left, and we're just like, man, 8-point game. Okay, Lamar, let's see it. This is the time. He went right down the field, kids. And by the way, he didn't have Zay Flowers. He had Rashad Bateman. He wasn't even trying to throw the ball to Mark Andrews because of the fumble. And he had Isaiah Likely. and they went right down the field when everybody in the stadium knew, oh, they can't use Derrick Henry anymore. We've actually got them in the perfect game script to where, hey, we've made them one-dimensional, and Lamar Jackson went right down the field. So I know the turnovers in the first matchup are a little bit tricky because it's like, hey, you can't give the ball to the other team at midfield to start the game, Patrick. You cannot do that. And the second interception was, as Patrick said yesterday to us at the podium, that was more out of like, it's fourth down, I got to throw the ball. Like, I can't take a sack here. So your risk obviously goes higher than it normally would in a normal game. You know, I think the safeties can be beaten. That includes DeMar Hamlin, of course. Bo Nix's best pass of the game was right over his head. So you have multiple weapons with Marquise Brown, Xavier Worthy, of course. DeAndre Hopkins should be more in the game plan. And then, yes, let's see if Matt Milano, once and for all, perhaps for the last time, can you cover Travis Kelce like once when it matters? Because guess what, kids? I haven't seen it once in the postseason when it has actually mattered.
Nate, I want to bring this up because I think when you look at this game, it's so just fine-tooth comb where you can find an advantage one team or the other. That's why it's one versus two. These are the two best teams in the AFC. But I would think the biggest advantage when it comes to this game, Chiefs over Bills or Bills over Chiefs, would be the Chiefs' side on defense over the Bills. I think they just have the better defense. I think when you hear the cliches of defense wins championships and, you know, when the playoffs start, defense becomes, you know, much more modulated when it comes to the game. The yep. biggest advantage, I think, in this matchup for me is the Chiefs' defense over Buffalo's defense.
And to your point, Dusty, can you get more consistent pressure on Josh Allen than you did in the first matchup? There's reason to believe that because you will be at home, which means it'll be, you know, very loud. The Bills will have to go on a silent count, and we just saw what that's like for, you know, not a great offensive line in Houston, but it leads to eight sacks when, you know, Houston never had the lead. And again, once we know you have to pass the ball, our pass rushers can really get active. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest player that people should be talking about more is Charles LeMahieu. He unlocks everything for George Karlaftis, and he takes less of a burden off of Chris Jones. Chris Jones doesn't have to be Hall of Fame amazing every third down. Now, he can obviously do it, you know, here and there at a certain point in the game, and we watched that last week against Houston where he just immediately eliminates a potential, you know, scoring drive for Texas and makes them push, you know, punt the ball away. But I do think Charles LeMahieu, with the strip sack, his ability to go inside and outside, you know, hey, unlike the first matchup, Josh Allen might be better contained in the pocket because you have Chris Jones, you have George Karlaftis, you have Charles LeMahieu, you might sprinkle in Mike Dana or Tershawn Wharton as the fourth guy. And now it just becomes, can you tackle? I think that was the other issue in the first matchup. The Chiefs had 13 missed tackles, fellas,
wow,
according to Pro Football Focus, in the loss to the Bills. That is the most missed tackles they've had this season. Last week against Houston, I know Houston is not Buffalo, one missed tackle.
Wow.
So if you get pressure on the quarterback and he has to get the ball out sooner than he wants, now it's about rallying and tackling. If they tackle on Sunday, if they get pressure on Josh Allen, the Chiefs will go back to the Super Bowl.
I love the fact that you brought up Charles LeMahieu because Dusty and I have talked for the last few weeks about the difference he's made with George Karlaftis. And Karlaftis is now four sacks away from being the all-time sack leader in Chiefs history in the postseason. Have you ever seen anybody benefit more from somebody coming back than, like, on defense than George Karlaftis has benefited from Charles LeMahieu?
No. I mean, it's been really striking because the quarterback has to move off his traditional spot. Or I think the better way to explain it actually is, okay, if I'm getting consistent pressure from Chris Jones, I can move to the left or I can move to the right and sort of reset myself and figure out where my options are. But if you're doing that and George Karlaftis is chasing you from behind and, you know, man, I can't really scramble as much as I want because Charles LeMahieu is getting pressure. Oh, wait, why is this guy that is like a maniac chasing me from behind? That's George Karlaftis. Mm-hmm. It's happened to Russell Wilson. It's happened to C.J. Stroud. It's happened to a lot less quarterbacks since Charles Lemieux came back on Black Friday. And it's just been something that we've watched. I remember when you know, the first game where you really noticed it was when the Chiefs beat Cleveland. It was the first game in that, you know, three games in 11-day stretch. Uh-huh. And George Kolaftis had a very good game because, oh, yeah, that's right. Now I can just chase the quarterback.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Because we're getting pressure enough to where he's not comfortable in the pocket. And as Andy Reid said on Monday, guys, no one is as relentless in terms of down-to-down effort than George Kolaftis. That's why he got three sacks. It's not because, you know, Steve Spagnuolo schemed up some great pass rushing plan. He was mostly just doubling Nico Collins, which, you know, smart on you. But it's the relentless effort, the tenacity from Kolaftis to get to the quarterback. Because he understands, hey, once that guy's uncomfortable, I got all the time in the world to chase him down, and eventually I'm going to do it in a way that can really help the defense. It's marvelous that no one – I'm glad you guys are talking about Charles Lemieux, but I don't get that sense from a lot of people, even though I think he's been a real key to the defense being as good as it can possibly be. And even for Buffalo, like, I don't think you should see Najee Johnson much. But, you know, they have Jalen Watson, they have Charles Lemieux. Those are two very important pieces to the defense that were not available in November.
I just looked at Dusty, and I can't believe more people aren't talking about the addition of Charles Lemieux. It's night and day with that guy out there.
Yeah, it really is. And, by the way, the Buffalo Bills, to give them credit, and to give Sean McDermott credit, hey, when you go for it on 4th-and-2 and your quarterback does amazing work, it's great. That was the first team to snap the Chiefs' streak of holding opponents to less than 30 points since the Super Bowl, 56 or whatever, against the Philadelphia Eagles. It was basically 2 years, essentially. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody scored close to 30 since that game. And, of course, as we've said before, you get Charles Lemieux back a few weeks later. You get Jalen Watson for the playoff run. You know, the team mostly sleptwalked through Carolina. I think Carolina is the last team that scored 27 or more.
Yeah, they did. I'm looking at it now. That Carolina 27, then Vegas 17, the Clippers 17, Cleveland 7, Houston 19, Pittsburgh 10, and then the preseason game at the end of the year, which doesn't count.
Which does not count. Right, correct. So, hey, when Sean McDermott gets off the bus, and again, I think he needs to lean more on his offense than his defense, and again, please don't have your special team screw the game up. That's been enough heartache for Bills fans. You got to come off the bus and enter Arrowhead saying, we got to score 30. Like, we just got to score 30, because once you realize it's a one-score game, most, if not all, the advantage swings to Kansas City. They've been in this game more than you. They have more experienced players. They have a guy that has come through in the clutch time after time after time. And, oh, by the way, he just happens to have the greatest receiving tight end we've ever seen at his disposal. And, oh, by the way, like, you know, as much as Tyler Bass has improved, Harrison Butker is this version's or this decade's version of Adam Vinatieri. Like, you give him a chance to eliminate you, he will eliminate you. So get 30. Try to get up and try to squeeze and put the Chiefs, you know, on the back heel. But with this defense, it's hard outside of Josh Allen being absolutely amazing. It's hard to see the Bills scoring 30 points when no one's done it. With this collection of group being this healthy, this rested. And, oh, by the way, I just want to mention this too, fellas. The Chiefs are the healthier team. They have no injuries. Right. They have literally no injuries. Everybody practiced yesterday as a full participant. And the Bills, understandably, because they didn't get the bye week, are trying to manage guys in the practice week. Like, let's not practice too hard. Let's get guys as healthy as we possibly can for Sunday's game. So you're not the healthier team. You're not the favorites. You're not at home, somehow score 30. I don't know how it happens. Maybe it's turnovers like you guys have said. But this defense, I'd be surprised if they gave up 30 at home, even for as dynamic as Josh Allen is.
No doubt about it. And a little stat nugget before we get you out of here. Since Omenihue has been back, Karloftis has 7 sacks. So something, incredible. Obviously 3 last week. But
it's
night and day.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Incredible. Nate, enjoy the best game of the year in Arrowhead one last time. And, you know, let's get a W and go on to New Orleans and party together on Bourbon Street with some snowballs.
Yeah, exactly right. Nothing like hurricanes and snowballs. That's right, my Lord.
No doubt about it.
Better not be snowing when we're there, or I'm asking for a refund.
I feel like that had a different meaning back in the 80s. Nate, we'll take care. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, fellas.